Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning's meditation is found recorded in the third chapter of John, and reads as follows. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, I think we all know that particular verse so very well that we don't always stop and think about what it really means. It talks about some of the most beautiful things that anybody could ever want to hear. And it puts it so plainly, so simply, and it lets us know, first of all, that the action of God, as he comes into our lives, not we into his life, but as he comes into our lives, is an act of love. If we had to go back and say to ourselves, I wonder why I became a Christian. I wonder on what occasion, what particular deed, what goodness in me made me the way I am now in Christ. You can hunt and hunt and hunt. And the scriptures would say, you're not going to find that. But so many people keep hunting for that. So many people keep putting themselves aside and said, Lord, I'm doing you a favor being in your kingdom. Aren't you glad I'm here? But it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That theme is all the way through Scripture, that the people that God gave himself for were unworthy of this act. They did not deserve this. They did not petition God. They did not, by any means, have any right to such a divine sacrifice to be made on behalf of all mankind. Now ask yourself a question. When you say you believe in Jesus Christ, do you know what that implies? Do you realize it implies that whosoever believes in him should not perish? The whole fear of hell, damnation, the whole bag, Christ has taken away from those who believe. He says you don't have to have that. You don't have to worry about that. Of course, Satan isn't idle either. He says, yes, you do. Yes, you do. He says, nobody's perfect. And even use the scriptures on us. He'll tell us, don't you know that it only takes one sin to damn you? Don't you know that unless you fulfill the whole law, you're guilty of breaking all of it? Now, those are true scriptures, but not the way he uses them. When we use them correctly, we're trying to say, don't put your whole self on your works. Don't even rely on works for salvation, but rely on the grace of God, which is what this is saying. It is by God's grace, his love, unearned love, that we don't look for salvation, we have it. A lot of us don't understand that. I rehearse it lots of times. I look over John 3:36, where it says, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Not just looking for, but is in possession of it now. I look over where Paul says, our faith is a down payment on eternal life. We have it already. We have that stuff that we're looking for. We are walking temples of God. We are people of God. Not trying to be people of God, but we are people of God. And that lesson you heard read today tries to bring that out too. That knowing that we are people of God, then there's something to do with that. There's something to do in terms of how we manifest that instead of making ourselves temples of unrighteousness or doing things that are evil that will not glorify God. We put that aside. And by the grace of God, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we live to glorify his name and what he has done in us all by himself. Our quarter is just about ended, at least this one. And some may need to know, as they wonder about their tests and their grades and what they've done over the summer, no matter how many terms you've been here, does God really love you? Some who say I have spent more time studying this summer than I've done in a whole lifetime. Does God really love me? Is this the way God shows his love, by making me read all these books? Making me wonder, and even bring some books to chapel because I have to study the next hour, I have to go to class. Is this the love of God? Or having question marks in our minds, how can God love me? Knowing what I know about me, why would he want to? Those are questions that we may ponder with, but they are not relevant to God. He says, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't say, I gave my son because you were worth it. He said, I gave my son because I love you. That simple. You talk about no condition. It's right there. And the other part, that God did not send his son into the world to be a condemner, or one who just simply wipes them out, says, I'm coming, look out. I'm going to get anybody. I don't care about those who believe. That's not what it says. But that the world through him might be saved. And then another reassurance. He that believes on the Son is not condemned. Do you believe on the Son? You love him as your Lord and Savior. If you do, you can't do that without God's grace enabling you or me to do that. Can't be done unless the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if you have that, it's very obvious. Very obvious. Condemnation is not a thing to worry about. And if God can take care of death, hell, damnation, surely can take care of a quarter of summer school. Or take care of your personal life. Or take care of whatever you think is a biggie. Because the biggie has been eradicated. God has taken care of it all. In him, we not only have life, but we have a real hope, a blessed hope. And even when we worry, and we think we ought to attack, the love of God is still there and saying, although you insist on worrying, I'm still here loving you. When you get through worrying, then follow my scripture that says, cast all your cares on him because he truly cares. When you finish with your worry, if you insist on it, you don't have to. But I'm here, your Lord and Savior. I'm here not because you asked me to come. I'm here because I love you. May that love of God permeate our lives. Keep us, sustain us, and give us the courage we need to face any situation in our lives. That we can do all things to the glory of God. May God grant this in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.